It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock. It's the fighting. It's the fighting. Clock.
A camel turnip.
Hello, welcome to the Fighting Cock Podcast, episode 9.
Come on.
Fuck off. If you don't know, I'm very ill, so I won't be talking much this week.
Bad age.
Oh, that's all I've got to say about that.
That's all I've got to say,
about that. What have you been doing? What have you been doing this week, Spook? Oh, fuck, hang on. I'm here with... It's me, it's Flav. I'm with Spooky, Chicago Dan, Felonious Filth, once again. We've got Jack, and we got Ricky. Is the baby here, Rick?
No, still not here.
When's it coming?
Tomorrow, hopefully, which is Wednesday, being induced.
So when it comes out, you'll be a dad.
Yes.
Best of luck there, Rick. Best
cheers,
of luck,
mate.
Well, usually the luck to the kid, I think.
Right? And we've got engineer Al, who's equally as ill as me for some reason, so...
You've been getting off each other.
They've been making out.
For fuck's sake. We're brothers, so I don't know about how that works.
It's fine.
It did happen though.
I'm drunk.
We got drunk.
And did you dock? Was it docking?
What's docking?
What was it?
It's when you
tell me.
Well, docking is when two
really
men...
are we really going to do this?
For people that don't know what docking is, I think docking is when two men put their bell ends together and then they roll each other's foreskin over each other's bell ends. That's docking.
Just for the fella who emailed in real quick, what is a monkey face?
Well, I only found out what a monkey face is today, but a monkey face is when you cut with your pubes off and you have it on the bedside table. And when you jizz in your missus' face, you throw the pubes in her face and go, monkey face!
We're going to hell.
We are.
If anyone's listening to this for the first time, if you're a Spurs fan, you've never heard a fighting cock before, this is pretty much what it's like every week. So yeah. If you don't like it, then...
We don't apologise for it.
Yeah, for another hour, we've got more to come up.
We're not talking about football this week. I've decided.
It's overrated.
Deviant sexual practices.
Has anyone done anything amazingly exciting this week?
I've done my back in, celebrating Luca's goal. I spent...
Luca, yes. What? What?
Don't bring that up, mate. I can't... For people listening...
I've noticed that in the podcast.
I can't pronounce the letter L in words. I mean, just deal with it.
No, I'm going to revert back to the playground. See, every time you do it, we'll set off an alarm or something.
Yeah, so I was celebrating Luca's sculpture and I'd done my back in. And on Monday, I couldn't fucking walk. I actually had a preview of what it's going to be like when I'm 75 years old. Because I went for a number 2, couldn't fucking squeeze it out.
Oh,
God.
It's
a
face. It's really face.
It's quite good.
I'm just telling you, that was the highlight of my weekend on Monday. I don't know.
On a similar note, I managed to punch myself in the balls in the celebration of Luca Modric's goal the other day.
Fuck you, Luca.
Popping my fist, and somehow I didn't stop quick enough. Railed myself right in the sack and had to quit celebrating.
Well, during my celebration of the Luka Modric goal, some psycho next to me decided to grab me and punch me in the chest as many times as he could as a celebration for the Luka Modric goal.
I also managed to unknowingly get roped into a drinking competition on Sunday, I got challenged to a drinking competition. We haven't the date hasn't been set yet, but I had no idea.
Punt 69.
Well, you guys would know better as to what had happened.
That's all right to say that.
Yeah. So it's a transatlantic duel.
Well,
yeah,
I think it's you two that got me into it, wasn't it?
Yeah, we basically. Sorry, Flynn, it's gone. You explain.
On a previous episode, I think Dan said they could drink anyone under the table.
Oh, I never made that claim.
Was it Dan or Flav that said it? But basically, a mate of mine called Cunt 69. Took exception to it and challenged Chicago Dan to a drink off. So
basically, his rules are somehow that you won the ticket to the Chicago Bears game, and he said if you can drink me under the table, you can have my girlfriend's ticket.
I'm not worried about that. I can have his wife.
It's Ticket.
Oh. It's Ticket, not his wife.
It's his wife fit.
Moving on, Bologna's new one. I don't know, I've never met her, she's probably lovely gone.
celebrating Luka Modric's goal, I got an elbow in the face. That's all I've done last
week. What the
week.
Fuck's going on?
How did I get injured?
Basically, I jumped up in the air, as I was going down, his elbow was going up and it hit me in the jaw.
Luka Modric's elbow?
Oh no, the bloke next to me.
Oh right.
His elbow. So he elbows me in the face, so Luka, you're a bell end.
Yeah, for that. Jack, you weren't at the game, were you, mate?
No, I wasn't. I'm a plastic fan.
I just wondered if you managed to injure yourself during the goal.
No injuries I can speak of. I've been adapting to my new week at work. Someone's just passed wind.
The mic wouldn't have picked that up. So cheers, Jack.
How unprofessional!
You didn't do it, but you somehow brought the tone to the left hand.
As I spend a lot of my job on the telephone, I would like it if anyone does happen to call a reputable car club company that are often advertised, if you could just say hello to me, if you realise it's me.
All right.
That's what I'd like. So there's another little challenge for you.
That's not going to happen.
No, it's not. But, come on, it'll make me happy. It'll make me smile at work.
If it does, no one's going to believe you either.
Why not?
Think that through, really, should you?
No. Sort of us, clutching a straw.
Sorry, mate. No, it's a good idea. It's a good idea.
Stop bullying me.
Ricky, what have you been doing?
I haven't been doing anything but I grazed my right leg during Luka Modric's goal. genuinely grazed my leg, and I remember me telling you at the time.
Yeah, this is all God's honest truth, by the way. Doesn't sound like it, but
it's been playing up a bit, but nothing too bad.
Yeah, I've not been doing much. Alex?
Nothing.
Well, Rick, you are going to be a dad tomorrow, potentially, so that's pretty big news, isn't it?
Yeah, we all know about this. I'm going to be a dad. She's going to be induced tomorrow, which is Wednesday. Looking forward to it.
Good luck.
Yeah, cheers. Until the dad's out there, I'll be joining the club. Nice. Another year on the way.
Good news. So we're going to move on a little bit. But just before we do, this is related to Tottenham, so, don't worry too much, listener. But I just want you to... There's a friend of ours named Chris King is doing a run for lymphoma sufferers. And he wants to... I've just realised I haven't written down his fucking address. All right, Chris, mate, I'm sorry. In my illness, I forgot to write your address down, so no one can donate. Do the run anyway.
Put it on the website.
I'll put it on the Fighting Cock website, .co.uk, fightingcock.co.uk. We'll put it on the website. Sorry, that was a shambles.
Is that Salad Dodger, Chris King?
Yes, the professor, as he's known on the THSE latest too. And I also want to mention someone who's been really active on our forum. I don't know his name other than what's he called?
It's Can't Smile Spurs.
Yes, Can't Smile Without You, which has got a website called can'tsmilewithoutyou.wordpress.com. It's a wicked little website, actually. Yeah, it's very new. He's just got up to it. Alex has gone. Alex has gone for a little lie down. I wish I could. Can't you not take over?
No.
All right, man. So go and have a look at his blog. It's cswy.wordpress.com. It's very funny, original stuff on there, so have a look. Right, let's move on to Liverpool this week, and what a glorious game of football.
Wait, did we play Liverpool on the weekend?
Yeah. What's your...
I think they were a team calling themselves Liverpool, but didn't play like Liverpool at all. It was just too easy, wasn't it?
When's the last time you remember a walk in the park 4-0-1 against Liverpool?
It was a great game from the off. We were in their faces, pressing hard, and they just looked like they genuinely looked like they were scared.
What? Because you're pressing them hard.
Yeah.
In their faces.
Pressing them hard in their faces. That's why two of their players got sent off, because they were pressing us hard in our faces. But it was a great performance. We were zipping the ball about very well, moving very well as well. A great overall performance.
Okay, Dan.
Well, how much better do we look now with Parker in the midfield and Adebayor up front? Look like a different team, really.
Yeah, exactly.
And genuinely,
Parker really, I really enjoyed watching him on the weekend. He puts himself about. I think he really is kind of a box-to-box type of guy. He can pick a pass, he gets stuck in, can, you know, he's clever with the tackle. He's really, I thought he was really impressive. Jack,
he just seems perfect foil for Luka as well. Like the two of them just seem to, they look like they've been playing together for ages. Like they look perfect together. They're absolutely brilliant. It's almost like the legwork that Parker puts in has given Modric a bit more freedom to be more creative, as opposed to having to sort of put a shift in as well.
It could be one of the shortest central midfield pairings that you ever see.
Well, they look after themselves,
I was noticing when you see kind of Scott Parker going for the tackle, and he's really up for it, and he's really enthusiastic. It rubs off on everyone else as well. And I was just noticing that Modric was really up for the challenge as well. After you see another player get stuck in, that you want to go in and get stuck in as well.
Yeah, well, exactly right. Because what you've got is a player that's come in and he works a certain tempo, a certain work rate.
Yeah.
Everyone else around him, we've got to match that work rate because you're going to look bad in comparison to him. So
exactly.
It innovates the team performance.
No, as everybody said, he covered every single blade of grass. He had a great debut at Hart Lane, but I think it also creates a selection dilemma for Harry Redknapp when Sanjo comes back. By the time this podcast is out, Sanjo will have played against Stoke, so
bringing in the negativity.
So, mm-hmm. Well, I just got to balance it out. I mean, it's nice to have this selection dilemma, especially at the North London derby that we've got all these players coming back. Gallas played earlier on today, so it's a good situation. You know, it's a good feeling.
I see what you're saying, but I think with Parker there, Sandro's second fiddle to Parker. He's got to be, because I think almost. As I rate Sandro, I think he's got amazing potential. I think he's going to be
it's a new haircut.
I think he's quality, but just seeing the performances that Parker's put in has almost, in a way, it's kind of opened my eyes to the fact that Sandro maybe isn't the finished article that we were sort of hoping he was. And he's still young, he's got time to learn. Parker's much more experienced and a lot older than him, you know?
I think Parker might be competing for the armband. I think he might be future captain for Spurs as well, because as Spooky said earlier on, his attitude has rubbed off on the whole team, and I think that's what we've been missing, really.
I don't really see it as a selection nightmare. I don't want to turn this into another Harry Redknapp thing, but if you've got these players available to you, then you can basically look at the opposition and think, you know what, we're going to be competitive, I'm going to stick Sandro and Parker in there, or I'm going to play Sandro, and do you know what I mean? It just gives you options, and it's a good place to be.
Well, that would be lovely when we play like Bolton or something like that, won't it? Having Sandro and Parker there.
To Spooky's point, there's a lot more options now to play some different midfields, maybe one up front with Adebayor, who can actually play on his own up front. But I just want to make a little side note. Does anyone else think that Scott Parker looks like Michael J. Fox? Particularly from Back to the Future.
Oh, I was going to say, he was a twitcher.
I feel like he needs to be on like a skateboard or something.
Or a hoverboard.
Hoverboard would be even
so
better.
So it's Redknapp McFly.
He looks like Michael J. Fox to me.
What's the other bloke then? The inventor, the one who made
Doc
the law.
Doc Brown.
Yeah, is that Redknapp?
No, he's not clever enough to be Doc Brown.
Oh. We were being nice as well. Another point I wanted to make was that Redknapp was vindicated in his team selection. I don't think he changed it up too much from the Wolves game, and also playing a young team midweek allowed our more important players to be rested and be up for the Liverpool game. And once again against Stoke, I think we played a shadow team, but still a good team. So when we play Wigan, our top players should still be fresh to put in a good performance, and I think Redknapp has done well so far this season.
How nice is it to have strikers scoring goals again? 5 goals now from Adebayor and Defoe last 2 matches.
And proper forward opportunities taken with just supreme confidence.
That first goal by Adebayor was brilliant. Remember everyone sucking Messi's dick a few months ago when he put the ball up over the keeper and then finished it. Adebayor done something very similar on the weekend. It was
class.
Yeah, it was a great goal.
And he holds the ball up well.
It's funny watching him play for Spurs. You know, you've seen him play over the years, but I'm almost appreciating now. It's almost like there's a whole side to him that I missed. That he has so much to his game that I didn't really see before. Yeah, he's a lot more intelligent of a footballer than I ever thought he was. And I mean, I know this kind of Arsenal fans have said to me he gets a bit lazy after the first 10 games, but at the moment he's putting in a shift and he's everywhere. And
he looks motivated.
He just looks brilliant.
Yeah, I was just going to say that's the worry, that's the concern. People that are hating on him at the minute are saying, well, he's all right for now, but wait for 10-15 games when he doesn't fancy it so much, and then you'll see the alleged real Adebayor. But having a player of his quality up front, Parker in the middle, it has galvanised the entire side, and we let Liverpool off towards the end. We could have really taken them. We could have got a DVD out of it, but it was almost like, you know what, we'll hold back and we'll take the piss a little bit. We've triangular pass.
So that tired them out, because they were down 2 men. We were passing the ball and they're doing a lot more running than they would have done.
Yeah. Even before the sending offs, we could have had more goals. Defoe blew a decent chance. Adebayor blew a decent chance. It could have been 6 or 7.
Oh, Rick, just say it. We've been recorded.
Arsenal losing 1-0 at home to Shrewsbury.
Shrewsbury, famous for two people, I believe. Charles Darwin and Joe Hart.
Wow. Well, how do you know that?
He's been training for killer, hasn't he?
Yeah. You did say you've been sweating up and you've been.
Not really.
What's he letting?
Who did Darwin play for then?
Someone mentioned on the forum at thefightingcock.co.uk about the atmosphere at the game, which I mean I'm highly critical usually about the atmosphere, and I thought in parts it was very good. I just wondered what your opinion is on the atmosphere at White Hart Lane generally.
Well, it depends on where you sit, doesn't it? But I thought, even on the weekend, I sat in the corner of the kind of northeast. I was in the north stand, but on the east side. And even there's a bit of atmosphere up on Paxton. So
I think traditionally we're up for certain games, aren't we? For Arsenal, West Ham, Derby, Chelsea. Yeah. The atmosphere outside the stadium, inside the stadium during the game is just, it is, I mean, it's a cliche, it's electric.
Mm.
For lesser teams, I don't know whether it's because we're slightly more successful nowadays, when you get the Wiggins and the Blackburns and whoever, it's a lot of the time, I don't think, as a collective, we're not that bothered. And it's strange, it's Liverpool. This is like, I know they've been on the slide for a while, but we're winning 4-0 at home.
But I think on the same thing as well, when like teams like Bolton and Wigan come to White Hart Lane, they bring like 14 fans, so it doesn't really give you much to banter back with.
That's
so
a good point. Yeah. Liverpool fans
rubbish.
Are quite loud, actually.
Yeah.
Liverpool fans are loud, but I think sometimes our fans wait for something to happen.
Yeah.
So if I don't know, if we hadn't scored by half time, I don't think it would have hurt our fans personally. So
is this another modern day football phenomenon that just it's like a privilege to be there, but you kind of expect, give us something and we're seeing back.
I think most fans don't see it as a privilege anymore. You know? I mean, it's the thing, they're thinking I'm paying 70 quid or 40 quid.
Yeah, just entertain us.
Yeah, they're saying that this is how much money, and this is a lot of money to me. And I think that's probably where it's come from. I definitely think the atmosphere in grounds has gone because of the money, and it's throughout. Yeah, we're out of the sport.
The Sky Sports montages and that don't help, do they? You know, because it's all explosions and look at this goal, look at this, look at the net rippling and all this. You know, that whole element of being a 0-0 draw, that's just, it doesn't make sense anymore. People think, what, a 0-0 draw? What's that about?
I swear, some of these matches, especially the televised matches, they must pump some sort of sound in or something. Because every time you watch Manchester United on TV, it sounds like.
No,
the grounds go wild. I've been to Old Trafford, and they're fucking quiet.
It's the microphone. What they do is they turn the microphone up for the away ends. That's why you always hear. That's why you get Spurs fans on Glory Glory bang on about. We're out singing the Man United supporters at Old Trafford. I've been at Old Trafford, stuck in the away end. You can't hear anything other than the Tottenham supporters.
What?
Because acoustically, it's not going to travel, and then United supporters say, "Well, we couldn't hear you." So,
the two times I've been to Old Trafford, I found it incredibly disappointing, full of tourists.
TV, you hear certain.
They want it to sound good when teams like United are playing.
I don't know, possibly. You reckon there's some sort of conspiracy to create even more power for Man United fans, more to gloat about?
In a sense, I mean, I'm telling you, There wasn't a song sung at Old Trafford for maybe 60 minutes or something.
Yeah, well, Alex Ferguson's a free mate.
But you watch if you watch it on the
you're going to be dead.
If you watch it on the TV, then it sounds like there's a riot.
But the games I find with the best atmosphere are the derbies that you don't really hear about. So I think when Blackburn, and that's not a derby that's played very often, and their fans are actually quite passionate. And then you see a game like the Manchester derby, it's like. The atmosphere is not really all that. So I can't really put my finger on it.
All right, should we move on to Wigan?
Yeah, might as well.
When are we playing them?
playing them on Saturday.
Saturday. We've got to beat them. Yeah. After Wigan, they've been rubbish, isn't it?
Is it White Lane?
DeSanto scored about 15 goals from deflections. Is it every goal that he's scored?
He looks good though.
DeSanto. It's every goal he's scored is from a deflection.
Do they own him now, or is he on loan from Chelsea?
I think they own him.
I own him.
Dear.
Well, is he in your dungeon or something? And he's got a gimp mask on.
I'm going to give him a monkey face. Oh.
I didn't think we'd say that about DeSanto, to be honest. DeSanto would be getting a monkey face.
That's something for it to be remembered for. But I was going to say, we've got momentum. I mean, I think we've kept about 3 clean sheets in a row in all competitions. So, that's a bit of a record for us.
That's what happens when you play a defensive centre midfielder in a team. Play 2 attacking midfielders in a team.
Yeah, I mean, the difference between the two sides we played against the Manx to what we've got now.
We didn't have a chance. Again, with Cranchar and Modric in the middle, no, you haven't got a chance. Yeah. Not even.
You're not going to.
Not even when you're playing the best teams.
I gotta say though, I thought Cranchar got a bit too much stick for the way. A lot of people I heard said that they didn't think he looked good.
I thought he was
very effective against two.
And holding
possession
against two
on the weekend against Liverpool. He's holding possession. It's one thing he can do, the Croatians.
It's almost like he's changed his game, because before he used to be a bit more explosive. I mean, he's never the quickest, but you always knew, like when he's on the pitch, he always kind of made a bit more effort. But these days, he's just been quietly effective, making tidy passes. If you look at his pass completion, it's at least 85-90% in the two games that he's played so far. So he's been effective. I don't know why he got taken off at half time. Was that tactical or was he injured? It was a bit bizarre.
I think he's injured. Done his hamstring.
Yeah, they said a hamstring injury.
Okay,
but the one thing the Croatians all give you is possession. They don't give the ball up. Yeah.
And they like bread.
They're the best looking, apart from
bread. There,
apart from the
Modric. Like an elephant.
I've seen Charlie. He's
fucking gorgeous,
isn't he?
He's a squishy.
He's a beautiful penis.
A Cranchar.
I'd love to dock. I'd love to dock with Cranchar.
Let monkey face me.
Well, I'll monkey face you. You don't worry about that.
No, you don't look like.
You can't monkey face everyone.
You like that?
I'm in need of a shave.
Cum in the world.
I'm in need of a shave. So you know what I mean. I might have to do it myself soon.
Not on me.
Well, you know, we'll see.
No,
we'll draw straws. A bit like deliverance.
Right, moving on.
Wigan.
Yes,
Wigan.
Oh, Saturday.
Monkey faces aside. Why does it keep going back to fucking monkey faces? Like, Campfire we mentioned once, and that was good. You know, it's just monkey face, isn't it?
It is good.
I don't mind monkey faces.
All right, let's go on to Wigan, please. Has anyone got anything remotely interesting?
Who did Wigan buy during the summer?
Your mum.
Ricky's mum getting a cane.
I'm trying to remember. I don't know who they bought.
Why is it always your mum?
Not only that, it's because it annoys him. I like seeing that look.
Oh, well, I'm gonna get you trunk.
His mum actually listens to the show.
Oh, no, she don't. No, she don't. No.
But people on the forum are kind of starting to throw mum jokes at your way.
I don't think he knows this.
No, I think they're on the forum.
If you just seen the look on his face as Flav said that to him,
his eyeballs went massive.
Yeah.
I'll kill every one of you.
My bare hands.
Come on, please, Wigan.
Okay, we might have Gallas back for that game. So
because he played behind his doors today, didn't he?
Yeah, he played against Brentford today. So I'm not sure if Redknapp is going to drop Cabal for the weekend, or if we'll stick with the defensive partnership last weekend. I think King or Gallas, they both improve Cabal no end.
Yeah,
it depends on King, doesn't it?
Yeah,
with these knees.
Yeah, but I find Cabal was always a bit hesitant alongside Dawson.
He was unbelievable, though, King, again, against Liverpool.
Yeah.
You almost don't notice him. He comes in and he just, again, the defence does exactly what it needs to do, because they know they've got the rock that is Ledley King at the back.
Too good.
He's too good.
He yeah. looks like he's in pain the whole time.
Yeah,
as well.
He does.
Yeah.
And somehow manages to be a step ahead of everyone the whole.
But he got subbed off, so I'm not sure if he got subbed off for injury. I feel it's worth too.
No,
he's going to up with yeah. 20 minutes to go. There's no reason to keep playing.
And also, Wigan are missing Wadiega, so that's another bonus.
Oh, yeah, he got badly injured, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, that is a bonus.
What, 9-1, do you reckon?
No.
Maybe 10. No, we're away for a start.
I think we'll win up there, though.
I hope so.
I think we've got enough.
I think we'll win up there as well.
Defensively, they're suspect.
As long as Edibur stays motivated and scoring goals, I think we're going
to
win.
The other thing about Wigan is they do try to play football, and if they try and play us at football, we'll do them, because we're a much better football inside than them.
And last season, we had loads of chances, and they weren't putting them away. I think of Adebayor and Defoe up there, I think. But at least put one of those chances away. And also, it's the last league game before the North London Derby, so we need to go into the North London Derby on a positive note.
I think with Defoe, I mean, you know, he feeds off form. So as soon as he's in form, he's like, you just think he's going to score every time he gets the ball.
He's looking like he's bubbling towards that.
That's happened.
Especially with Adebayor.
Yeah. They look like a great partnership to me.
But I like how small he looks compared to Adebayor.
When they hug.
Yeah.
He kind of makes a mockery of the whole thing, because it's like you get paid God knows how much money a week to play football, and it's like, well, you know, I'm not really up for it. I'm lacking confidence. It's the best job in the world, for fuck's sake.
I don't think
you should be motivated every single week, but... Well, he's motivated now because he's got Adebayo up front and we've got Parker in midfield.
Yeah.
It seems a bit lame that before signing those two players, we weren't capable of
Felonious.
No, but I don't think because he's paid all that money, he's going to be motivated. I don't know. Last season, he was injured, he was in and out of the team. I mean, as I said, if you give him a run of games, as you've alluded to already, that he'll get goals. I think the partnership is still in the embryonic stages, and I think when they get each other, when they know each other's runs and know where they're going to put the ball, then they'll be... That's not to behold.
I think Flav was spot on. I've never questioned Defoe's motivation or effort. He always seems to kind of go out there and give it what he's got. He just he is a foreign player, and if his confidence is not there, then he's not the same player.
The problem here, it goes back to, and we don't have to talk to this at length, but it goes back to Van der Vaart, is Defoe can't play up front with Van der Vaart. It doesn't work. Defoe has always worked better with another partner up front that he can feed off, he can run off, and with Adebayor heading, you know, he's so good in the air.
Yeah.
He's kind of like, I think he won more balls in the air against Liverpool than I've ever seen Crouch win in a game.
He's like a complete forward, isn't he?
He is, he's got it all.
And also, I don't think Defoe's ever really had a consistent partner at Spurs, and all his time there, even in his first stint, I mean, I think it was Mido, Canute, we've been picked ahead of him. So we never really got to form a partnership. So hopefully this will be the season where he gets to form a partnership. We've got Euro 2012 in next summer. So if he gets a good run of games with Adebayor, maybe he could do well for England.
What's going to happen, though? Because if Van der Vaart's fit, will Redknapp play him?
Yeah, he'll drop
the
phone.
I think he'll drop Quantra. I think he'll play on the right.
I'm
just saying that's what I think.
Well, that would happen.
I think you're probably right on that.
Because Walker likes to push forward anyway. Because Van der Vaart plays so narrow, I think Walker will bomb ahead of him anyway. So that might just work.
That's a great point. A Cronchar or a Van der Vaart type of a winger who's going to cut in does open up a lot of space for Walker, who's
going to have all the space he can eat. It will be so much space that he won't know what to do with it. This is the problem. He'll have to take care of two wingers. A winger and a fullback.
But remember, Walker's an attacking fullback. He's not really a defensive fullback, is he? So if you can give him a bit of space to run into, then he's going to be effective.
Jack.
Now he's fit, it'll be interesting to see if he'll start against Wigan, no Van der Vaart, how fit he is, if he will be starting against Wigan. But I think regardless of that, I see us winning 2-0 up there.
I think Van der Vaart looked fit when he came on. The
he's playing again.
Looked even slower than he normally does, and he normally looks tonight. Quite slow.
He's playing tonight
against Stoke. So we'll
he always wants to play,
and he might be fit. He might be for his fitness.
Back in time for the North London Derby, no doubt. And we all know he likes the North London Derby.
I think that's what we're building towards.
Yeah,
actually.
He needs to be back for that. Really,
I think Scorby.
I think it'll be 1-0
for what
Wigan.
Really?
One up to Wigan.
No, I'd never.
How does that make any sense?
I'll go with Chad. 2-3-0.
No, I'll fight 5-0 Spurs.
2-0 Tottenham.
I think it'll be 2-1 Spurs.
see how good we are with predictions.
Yeah. Well, I called 8-0 against Liverpool.
I'll take
Bellino
Car
Park.
That's 50%. You got 50%, right?
That's not bad, is it?
There you go.
Yeah, I felt good about myself.
They didn't score, did they? So that's the most important thing.
What was your prediction, Dan?
2-0. 2-0 Tottenham.
Put your money on 2-0, listeners.
Oh, okay, so that's it for the first half. And Arsenal's still losing to Shrewsbury.
They are.
Go on to Shrewsbury.
Hey! Oh, fucking hell, it's 1-0.
Oh! Oh. Right.
Brooke. Huddle with a beautiful piece of skill. What a magnificent goal by Glenn Huddle. He deserves those celebrations. 11 minutes gone in the second half, and the Glenn Huddle that we know and admire so much is shown to perfection. Everything about that goal was glorious. The turn, the move into space, and at the end of it all, the chip into the far corner.
We're back for the second half, and...
You're still alive.
Yeah, I'm still alive, just a bit.
Hang on there.
And I'm sober. This is the first one I've ever done, first ever Fighting Cock podcast I've ever done sober. And it's not as good.
That's not
it's not as fun, I'm going to be honest.
Gary, this is for you.
Oh, you cunt. Oh, sorry. We've got to do Prick of the Week at the beginning of the show, so we've got... It wasn't actually a single person, it was more of a group of people that won this one. It was anyone who wanted to move to Stratford won Prick of the Week by it, and they got a massive, massive total of 62 votes. By far and away the most popular pricks of the weeks we've ever had.
We are in 17.
We are in 17, yeah. Yeah. What happened to them again?
They're still going,
are they? Yeah. That's good.
That's right.
It's all about the passion. It's all about staying, not going to Stratford. Anyway, let's move on to... let's move on to... Killer.
Killer.
All right, so as a request from the forum, someone recommended that I shouldn't be the quizmaster this week because basically every week I get out of it, and whoever wins Killer not only becomes King Cock and exempt from Pick of the Week, but should also be the quizmaster for that week. So... As Spooky won the game of Killer last week, he's now going to...
Yeah, I'll take over. What way am I doing this?
Just go from Ricky first, then me, then Jack.
All right.
Then Felonious, and then Chicago.
The subject matter, just so you can get your gears into brain, is Spurs versus Chelsea.
Gears into brain.
Dyslexic. Brain into gears. No,
what did I say?
Just a gizzard to brain.
Did I? I'm a host.
Brain into gear.
Right, first question, Rick.
Yep.
Up to the end of 2004, who was the last player to join Chelsea from Spurs? Up to the end of 2004.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Well, I can't think of anyone. Shit.
You're out now, aren't you?
I get the same question now. Yeah, Is it from Chelsea to Spurs?
The last player to join Chelsea...
From Spurs.
Yeah.
Up to 2004.
Yeah.
I can't think of a single player who's gone...
No.
Andy... No, I don't know. I'm going to say Andy Gray.
I thought everyone was going to get this.
Nah.
Neil Sullivan?
That is correct.
Oh, yeah. Come on, Jake.
Thank God you've got that.
Oh, lucky.
Did you know it as well?
Flonny's got a reprieve there because he doesn't get that question now.
I would have been
right.
See, that was tough.
That was. It was so easy when you say the answer, though.
Yeah, it makes sense.
All right, your question, mate. Name the former Spurs hero who scored twice for Chelsea against Spurs in their 3-1 win in September 1986.
What?
So, can you repeat the question?
Jesus.
You're getting nervous, aren't you, Dan?
I'm nervous.
So, can you repeat the question?
86.
Name the former Spurs hero who scored twice for Chelsea against us in the 3-1 win in September 86.
I'm going out first round again.
No, but the thing is, it's easy when you've got the answers in front of you.
I know. I've got the name in my head and I know it's wrong. It's Mickey Hazard.
You are correct.
Oh! Baloney as fuck, you know.
Bang it.
You really are a cunt.
It would have been your question, so you should be happy.
No. If you got that wrong, then I was automatic winner.
No, you'd have to get one right.
Fuck you.
The thing is, I purposely picked this Spurs Chelsea thing because it is pretty much player based. It's quite easy, I think.
Oh, you wouldn't have got any of them.
All of them, mate.
Do you see how I can pipe up when I got the book?
Yeah,
you know.
When you got the book, you got the power.
That's it, mate.
Right,
go on, Dan.
Dan.
Yes.
Do you want me to just basically just bypass you and go to the next?
No, give me a fucking question, will you?
This Scottish striker joined Spurs from Chelsea for £2 million in August 91.
Yeah.
Name him.
Are you saying?
I'm so no. pissed.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Next, you've got to tell him.
He's out.
Scottish
striker who joined Spurs from Chelsea for
£2 million. You've never even heard of him, Dan. It's quite an obscure player.
You love him as well, didn't you?
I do, he's one of my favourite players.
I liked his time at Tottenham. He's much maligned, but...
And he's ginger, there you go, there's no key.
He's ginger? Well, he's Scottish, wasn't he?
Yeah. Alright, you're not going to get a side then.
Alright, I got no fucking
idea. Goes over to... Jack.
Gordon Jury
is correct.
Yep. So it's down to Jack and Felonious Filth to the King Cock.
Right, you know what? This is going to run and run, I reckon. I reckon you two are... You've got the skills to get through this.
Years of FM. Years of FM.
No pressure. No pressure, yeah. Can you name the former Spurs reserve team player who scored for Chelsea against Spurs in a 1-1 draw in November 1984?
What are these questions for a Spurs book? About Chelsea scoring against Spurs?
I'll repeat it, yeah. Name the former Spurs reserve team player who scored for Chelsea against Spurs in a 1-1 draw in November 1984.
I'm on the brink of glory, yeah.
What is it?
I don't know. I've won it.
Are you not going to get it?
I'm going to get it.
What happens if both of them don't get it?
I've got the last question.
Can I give clues?
Five.
Give one clue.
Four.
That's what I'm saying.
It's three. Obvious.
No, two. One.
You're out, mate.
Just say the first Chelsea player comes in your mind.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Come on, Chelsea player from the mid-80s.
Count that, I'm just saying. It's
done, man.
Is it done?
Oh, yeah, tell him.
The answer is Kerry Dixon.
Get in.
That weren't obvious, but I'll get
you. What the fuck?
You knew. Alright, let's move on.
Well done, Trump.
Thank you.
Well done, Trump.
Well done. 3 of 5. 3 of 5, that's what I say.
Alright, you're going to be quizmaster next week.
Right.
So,
the book is in your hands now.
All right, let's move on to our first bit of feedback. We're going to go to, as is the custom, to Trunk to read that out in his funny accent.
All right, you're not going to like this, Dan. I'm going to try and attempt this in an American accent.
I've heard your American accent.
This is he's from.
He's bad as my hair. Red
Dallas. Yeehaw! This is. I'll stumble across the old podcast day one on iTunes. Love it. Being in Dallas, there is no opportunity to have camaraderie around the Spurs. I live vicariously through y'all guys an hour a week. He then goes on to say, I set parameters as when I went about choosing the team. Chelsea, Man U, City, Liverpool, all out, because if you aren't born... That was awful, wasn't it? If you aren't born of them, you're a glory hound and a shell fan. Had to find someone who stayed in the Premier League. Consider Fulham based on an American presence. Settled in Tottenham. Drawn to them. To cement the relationship, I bolt stuck in the club. Walked out to the living room, told my wife she was now a Spurs fan. And we now own 0.00047% of the club. My wife is also my sister. He doesn't say that. I'm sorry.
Unnecessary and not true.
My girlfriend's from Alabama. I'm sorry, Carrie, as well. Don't hate me.
Where is he actually from?
He's from Dallas.
And his name's David Hoffman.
Mate, your girl's from Alabama, as you said. That's way worse than Texas.
Shit, do I take it up with her? Carrie, Dan's called you out.
I'll take something up with her.
We've already taken something up with her.
Nah. Okay. Oh, maybe.
Let's move on. What's the question?
That was a nice story.
That is an excellent story, and it's glad to know that we've got so many.
Cheers, cheers, Dave. I am sorry for my racism there. Like I say,
it's a bit of a privilege, I think, to be selected for Jack to read an email.
I do apologise for my terrible, terrible Southern accent.
I thought it was awesome.
I thought it was great. All right, let's move on.
Dan
to Chicago Dan.
All right, we got another one here with some sort of an American connection. It says, awesome work so far. Since I don't get as much banter since I let my season ticket go, this is a great way for me to get my fix. I'm a longtime season ticket holder, Park Lane Block 33. My first game was 1982. My missus moved over from Florida 4 years ago, and her first game was the 125-year game versus Villa 3 days after she'd landed in the UK.
That's a great proper baptism.
Now we're relocating to Tampa, Florida, and the lane won't be as easy to get to. To be honest, I got right teared up after the City game, not only because we got battered. Our two-year-old, this is the good bit, our two-year-old came to his first game at 6 months old and has been a Tottenham member since he was 3 days old.
That's commitment.
Bad man. Brilliant. And I've already challenged Ricky to beat that.
I don't really
Our love as a family for Spurs would just have to be from a few miles away. We listen into the podcast on the plane as we leave at 12 on Saturday. Keep up the good work, and this is the shout out to Phil, Valerie, and Seldon Bennett. So
nice one.
Good luck.
Excellent.
That doesn't have a question either, has it?
No question. What a proper shout out.
What are we supposed to talk about now?
Whenever someone says they're from Tampa, I think of tampons. There you go. That's
it sounds like it. To be honest, Tampa's full of old people.
What's that got to do with tampons?
You don't got anything to do with tampons because old people don't use them.
Oh, I can read your text that my Arsenal friend sent me if you want.
Go ahead, then.
So, my friend that supports Arsenal, when Blackburn were 4-2 up, I sent him a text that just said, ruffle, 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 to which he replied with, fuck off, you turd. And then I said, delayed response, can't wait to see Addy belt a few in past you and celebrate like a madman. And he said back to that, then sulk when you hit your losing run with you lot praying you kept crouch, only to wave goodbye to Modric, Bell and Van der Vaart when you finish sixth. One victory means piss all, you rat.
You rat.
That is what you call banter.
What did you say to that?
Well, what can you say? Why are you mates with him?
I just thought
I'd get some Arsenal Tottenham thing going on, before we were lacking feedback.
Well, I think next week's podcast will be quite electric, so we'll be talking about Arsenal a lot more than we normally do.
That's a little taster
we can expect.
So tune in next week.
Speaking of the Arsenal, today I'm on my way up here. I get to Finsbury Park Station, and immediately, upon walking in the station, catch this really, really rank smell, kind of burns the inside of your fucking nostrils, right?
What was Trunk's mum about there?
Go, Ricky! Go, Ricky!
Ricky wins!
Legs spread it off. Anyway, I walked onto the platform, smelling this disgusting smell. What is it? Goonies
everywhere. The plague. What I will quickly go on to before we're drawing a close for this epic podcast we'll just talk a little bit about John Crace. You might have heard his interview on the Spurs show this week. We might not have done.
You shouldn't be listening to that.
It's up to you. As long as
it's either one or the other.
Yeah, it's up to you. You listen to whatever you like. But what they did have is John Crace on there. We haven't got John Crace. But
budget doesn't stretch that far, unfortunately.
We got Ricky and Trunk.
And loads of mum jokes.
That's all we got.
Why are you laughing so much?
It's the way you dropped it, I thought it was good. I'm playing you a compliment.
Thank you. We read his book though. So he should come on really, because that's the kind thing of us to do. I read his book, I've got 200 pages in and I haven't read it for a week. But Flonis was a big fan. He finished it in 3 days.
It's a great book. What's it about? It takes on a journey through last season. He
chronicles every single game, but he also talks about his battle of depression and how he balances supporting Spurs with how he deals with his family life. And also, well, touching about the book was his relationship with his son, because before, I think maybe a couple of seasons ago, I took him to his first game, might have that wrong, and his son is a bit aloof, but then after a while, the relationship built, and as the book went on, him and his son became a lot more closer. But it's a very good read. I read it in 2 days, which is a record for me. And
should we tell the listeners recommend it. What the title of the book is?
So yeah, it's called Vertigo. One man's, what's the subtitle? There's a sub
fear of success.
One man's fear of success. Yeah,
that's so it. Not to make light of the serious subject matter of the book, but I've got to say, Flannis, with your sort of deep husky voice, the intro there, that it takes you on a journey. It was epic.
It was all ad-libbed.
Yeah.
It was. It's a good book though.
There's a lot that you read, and you find yourself thinking, I felt that during that result.
Yeah.
I mean, it just kind of proves that Spurs supporters are built from the same template almost. Yeah.
More than anything, he kind of accurately describes what it is to be a Spurs fan, I think, more or less. I
mean, there's a couple of things in the worst, aren't we?
Yeah, fearing the worst and being pessimistic.
What I remember, what struck me most about the book was, I think it was the Blackburn, Sunderland and Bolton games last season. You won those three games in a row and you thought we were back in the race for fourth place. And he was, we were all on a high, and I think he captured that pretty well, and it just sums up what it's like as a Spurs fan, because I mean, even the season before, we lost against Pompey in the semi-final. And then the next two games, he went on a good winning run. And it's just he captures it all in his book very well.
There's a quote, he takes his daughter to a game. It's the first game she's gone to. And at the end of the game, it's the Blackburn game, actually, when we beat it 4-2. And she says something like, how can you get pleasure from so much, from something that gives you so much pain? And when I read that, I thought that is...
I've heard girls say that before.
You bad done.
Sorry, Rich.
Bring it back.
Yeah, sorry.
That sums up supporting Tottenham. amongst other things. It's leaving out Dan Six line. So we've got three copies basically to give away.
Yeah.
How are we going to do this competition wise?
We came up with the idea of what was your most depressing moment as a Spurs fan?
Yeah.
That's
inspiring.
What? Yeah, we'll put it. Flames, you can say that. You'd have to whisper it to me.
No, you're the lead guy.
Multi-school boy now.
I'm sorry. I suggested, mate, we'll probably start a thread in the forum. fightingcock.co.uk/forum, and we'll start a thread up and just give us the most depressing stories, and the one I think we'll pick three, isn't it?
We'll
pick three at random and we'll send the book off to you.
I'm sorry, John Crazy, if that's insensitive. It's just that came off the dome.
What came off the dome?
The dome.
Wait, you're freestyling?
Yeah, that's what happens, mate. When you're around me, stuff like
dropping
that.
Dropping rhymes and shit, man.
what forum are we going to stick the competition in?
I just gave the address for it.
No. That's our forum, but what sub forum?
Tottenham Hotspur.
Complicated.
Alright.
Just have a look. Tottenham Hotspur, and you're Tottenham Hotspur forum of the section.
And please, we all float around in the forum, so if you want to have a little chat with us and have mum jokes aimed at you, then come and have a
check out the website. It is majestic.
He's done it. Queso, another shout out to him.
Yeah,
massive
to Case.
So man, he has a horrible drunken night coming his way, courtesy of us.
Exactly. Some bad shit's gonna happen to him. By bad, I mean good.
He's gonna poo himself, I think. That's inevitable.
He's gonna be asking how something that causes so much pain can be.
He's
so
gonna wake up and say, "What sort of hair on my face?"
Shitloads of monkey face.
Monkey face.
He's got pubic hair everywhere all over. He's just like, "What was happening?" And he ain't allowed to go home till he poos himself. So we just keep him up. Just trying to go to the toilet.
It would just be a scat party.
Just shits everywhere. Anyway,
we deviate.
we digress. Prick of the week. Who's been the biggest prick this week? I will go for. I don't know, Dan. Don't know why. Just because you haven't had it before.
Jack's.
I've had it many times.
I think we got zero votes last week as well. I'm feeling bit sad about that.
But you're exempt, so it doesn't matter how smug you are, you get away with it. So
yeah. Oh, there we go.
And you can follow us all on Twitter. You can check that out on the Meet the Team section of the website. You can follow us all on there. Engineer Al or Alex underscore Prol needs followers.
Fucking yeah.
So get following him.
Get following him.
Alex underscore Prol. Fucking buy my music.
Yeah, buy some.
Let's get me off the dole. Please.
Yeah.
Please.
And that's it, ladies and gentlemen. I will be back on top form next week. I will be, hopefully.
And keep tweeting to Tottenham players.
I'm getting drunk next week.
And also, quickly, Danny Rose, he retweeted, didn't he?
Oh, shit, yeah, sorry. Yeah, yeah. It's a big thank you to Jade BAE, who got Danny Rose to retweet. But yeah, she kind of knows him relatively personally, I think, or knows him somehow outside
of Twitter. She's known him.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. This is a bunch of homewreckers, aren't you?
Yeah.
And Eunice, for retweeting and deleting, you're going down, son.
Did he retweet?
No, retweeted and deleted.
I don't think he deleted it.
No, he didn't delete it.
He's spreading vitriol over the internet. There's no need.
Troublemaker.
Yeah.
You should never retweet and delete.
So. I don't think he did. It's a bit of a glitch to Twitter. So.
All right. Whatever. I don't care really. So. I'll see you later, everyone.
See ya.
Bye.
Can't.
It's the fighting. It's the fighting.